And good day,
good night,
and welcome to World Cup Today. Kevin Larmy here solo today. Dwayne is somewhere in the Toronto Underground, stuck between two metro subways and a TV, getting ready to watch Russia. Wrap up Group A in just a few minutes. At 10 o'clock, of course, we'll have the Group A, both games at the same time. And this afternoon at 2 p.m. as well, you'll have the other two games of Group B. But let's talk about yesterday's game for a minute. Two games were played yesterday that we did not talk about. We had our England versus Panama review show at 10 a.m. yesterday, so you can listen to this show if you want to hear our thoughts about England. Do we believe that football's coming home? Maybe. Who knows? It's still out there. It's still possible, so we're still happy. I'm wearing my Portugal shirt today because Portugal's playing this afternoon. Portugal, Iran, a bit of news. Yesterday, the Iranian fans went close to Mercure Hotel, where Portugal stays, and had a bit of fun, a bit of party. Yep, we've seen those party before. Fireworks, music, and Iranian fans wanted to give their team all the chances they could by making Ronaldo not sleep. And you see the images of Ronaldo going to his window, making signs like, look, I need to sleep. Shut up. I need to sleep. It did not happen. Iranian fans were having fun, so that bodes well for this afternoon, Group B. Interesting games and interesting possibilities. In Group A, this game, Russia versus Uruguay, will be very fascinating because all the allegations, or more the, it's not allegations. Well, when we talked the last few shows about the difference of output of players' performance by Russia, I think that's the best way to put it. Right now, it's just that. Right now, it's just numbers on a piece of paper. Maybe outliers. They may be weird. They may be not to a level that we expected. Does it mean that they're doping? I don't know yet. We don't know yet. No one knows. It's not even allegedly at this point. It's just numbers that were given by FIFA, and we've analyzed those numbers, and there's a bit of red flags. But this game, Russia-Uruguay, will determine who wins the group. There's a very good chance Uruguay will, and Russia moving on to Group 16. Those two teams will move on. It's who finishes where is the important question. Russia-Uruguay would be a fascinating matchup in the way that both teams play a style that I think is going to make an interesting game. But that's today, and we'll talk about it in the review show tomorrow when Dwayne is back. By the way, this show is brought to you by sportsinspired.ca. Sportsinspired.ca is a brand new venture that I've started last week. It's one part is the store of SPN as well. It is a clothing line that I created, sports inspired. It's inspired by sports, not just soccer. Yes, there's a lot of soccer content for now. There's some Tour de France as well content. There's going to be some tennis inspired jersey for the big tournament that starts next week as well. So if you're a sports fan, you like to wear sports, have to like classy looking apparel, I suggest you go to sportsinspired.ca. Prices aren't Canadian dollars, and they're as cheap as possible. We want to make sure that we bring you value. And if you're a supporter of any team in Canada, United States, and you would like to have a store on my website, you would like to have some merchandise at the image of your supporters group, let me know. You can always contact us at info@sportsinspired.ca. Japan-Senegal 2-2. What a game. Drama. Comeback win. Honda scores his goal for a third straight World Cup for Japan. This was an entertaining game. This was a very well played out game, a 2-2 draw. And you know, the draws, we have no 0-0 draws in this World Cup so far, and that's a record. But this, we might have a few of those in this week, though, because of the dead rubbers, depending on which group and all. But this Japan-Senegal game, the Senegal team is fun to watch, happy, they're having fun, and that is underrated a bit for me at the World Cup. It's the highest level. A lot of people are playing with pressure. A lot of people are playing with the idea of not committing a mistake. It's sometimes the idea of not committing a mistake will impede you, will actually give you a little moment of hesitation that you will think a bit too much and you get burned and you make a mistake. So yeah, we've seen this happen, but Senegal just playing out, just having fun. Japan taking advantage of the fact that they got the shock result of the World Cup so far, beating Colombia in the, I don't know if it's the shock result, Mexico beating Germany, who knows. But in their first game, when Japan won 2-1 against Colombia, The late goal, and yes, there was an early red card with the intentional red intentional hand in the box for the player of Colombia. So Japan has been impressive. Not that they've played in a way that was impressive, but they got the result and they're doing a lot better than expected. Asian teams are known to be the fourth or fifth worst confederation in the five ones in the FIFA World Cup. Asia has been having difficulties. But you know, sometimes just a few results, a few ideas, and Japan's getting the result they needed. It's interesting too, because when you look at Japan before the World Cup, they're in turmoil. Japan changed its coaches a few months before the World Cup, and they already announced they're going to change manager after the World Cup too. And you had a lot of the Japan Football Association had some different ideas than we anticipate. They didn't want just players that could be the best. They wanted Honda there. You know, they wanted the big names they have so they can market this team in their country and be able to do advertising, be able to profit, to monetize their presence at the World Cup. And when you have a player like Honda, which is the most known player for Japan, yes, he scored in his third straight World Cup. It's a record for Japan. But you kind of needed that. And the fact that he scored the tying goal too, coming off the bench, it's a nice story. It's a nice narrative. And those narratives, those stories are important at the World Cup. There's only so many teams that can contend. And yes, you have surprises. And we've talked about this week, that every 20 years, there's a new winner of the World Cup. It's been 20 years. France, 98. Who's going to win this year? Is it Croatia's year? Is it Mexico's year? Is it Portugal's year? Who knows? We'll know in a few weeks. But knowing that you're not going into the World Cup to win the damn thing, like Japan, you kind of have to do things your own way. And I guess having those results, doesn't matter if they get out of the group. Now, they have a chance of getting out of the group. We'll know that later this week. But Japan already did more at this World Cup than we anticipated, which is the same for Senegal. And by the way, Senegal, 2 wins, 3 draws at the World Cup level. This is their second visit at the World Cup finals for Senegal. They are undefeated. The Lions of Teranga are undefeated since, well, at the World Cup level. They've never lost. Never lost a group stage game. So, this is fascinating. And their style of play, Sadio Mane, Iheanacho, Victor Moses. Victor Moses is for Nigeria, sorry. But when you have Iheanacho and Sadio Mane scored again the first goal for Senegal. It was a bit of a cluster in the box, and the ball ended up behind the goalkeeper. That was a Japanese goalie mistake, and that's been 2 Japanese goalie mistakes that led to 2 goals. So you take out the free kick goal against Colombia, take out this goal here, Japan's got 2 wins. So Japan really is impressing me in this World Cup. The Blue Samurais are not necessarily playing in an exciting type of football, but the 2 games that we have seen them play against Colombia and against Senegal, because of game effect, because of match effect, score effect, that microcosm of that one game, the early red card for Colombia made for a very wide open game, and it actually leveled the teams, and Colombia is technically better than Japan, but 10 Colombian, I don't think it's better than 11 Japanese. So we saw that happen. And Senegal, of course. So that was fascinating to me. And then the other game yesterday, to wrap up the second game of the group stage in Group H, you had Colombia and Poland. Loser, go home. Winner redeems their bad first game. And if it's a draw, well, both teams would have been in trouble. It wasn't a draw. It wasn't close. And Robert Lewandowski is going back home. Sorry, Poland. Sorry, Polish fans. It was not as easy as expected. For some reason, I made a mistake, and I'm going to make my mea culpa right now. I handicapped Poland way higher than they should have been. I made them to go out of the group stage, and I was wrong. I guess I handicapped the European team playing in Europe and the fact that I had one very good superstar player. But I think that's the biggest difference in all the teams that we have one superstar and the rest of the team, you know, Argentina, Messi, and the rest, you know, Portugal, Ronaldo, and the rest, you know, Colombia, Falcao, and the rest. Well, the rest is pretty close, but the difference of talent between Lewandowski. And the rest, it's pretty, pretty considerable. And the fact that Lewandowski was stuck on an island up there by himself, no service, barely any shots on net. In the first game, he had barely one, and it was kind of shot technically because the ball was directed towards the net, but there was no chance of a goal. And it was the same thing yesterday. Colombia redeeming themselves, Falcao, Cuadrado playing it very well. Cuadrado showing a lot of skills yesterday, and that impressed me a lot. Colombia might have redeemed themselves and might have a very, very good shot now from moving out of the group stage. But we'll see those games later this week. And those will be fascinating because, yes, it's going to be difficult now. You know, you have two games at once, so it's time to bring your second TV. Take it out of the kids' room. You know, unplug their consoles. Take the TV, put it in the living room next to yours, and watch both. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do today. I'm going to be cross-eyed for a little bit because two eyes on two screens. But that's the important aspect of this week is now we know who's moving out. Now we know who's going to get out of the group, who's going to fill my bracket. And my bracket's pretty much busted at this point. Like, Egypt's not going to be there. I got Poland there, too. They're not going to make it there. Do I have Poland? I don't have Poland. Maybe I was wrong. I know I do have Poland. Yeah, they're not going to make it. So our brackets are pretty much all busted for now. But the good and positive thing is there's a lot of soccer left to play. And with the England victory yesterday, with Germany's faux pas against Mexico, but then their late heroics, there's a lot of things that can happen here. Example, if Russia, for some reason, gets a good result today, they could win the group. Then they will face either Portugal or Spain in the run on June 30th in the round of 16. And then go to the quarterfinals. And it's the same for teams like Brazil. Same for Germany. If Germany finishes second of their group, they're moving from one side of the bracket to the other. And you can have games like Brazil-Germany in the round of 16. Germany-Belgium or Germany-England in the quarterfinals. You could have a Brazil-England. You could have a Brazil-Colombia. There's a lot of possibilities here. But the thing is, if Germany finishes second, you kind of have to... Well, you don't know until the game after, so you can't really play that way. And it's not necessarily a positive thing to... you know what they say, right? He who chooses worse. Exactly. So, if I'm England or any other team that looks at the bracket and the possibilities and like, oh, if I finish first, I'm going to have them. If I finish second, I'm going to have them. You know what? If you think you can win the World Cup, if you think you got what it takes, that doesn't really matter. You're going to have to face the best teams anyway at some point. Might as well test yourself early and get that boost of confidence if you do believe so. So, if you're England and you're playing the way England has played yesterday... Yes, I know. Tunisia, Panama. It's not like... Well, Costa Rica eliminated England in 2014, so you never truly know. But you can't really choose. You can't really say, okay, I'm going to get an extra yellow card to make sure that I'm fair play points. Because right now, that's the only difference between Belgium and England. They have everything similar from goal scored to goal differential to the amount of everything. Except fair play points. Which England has fewer yellow cards as Belgium right now. So England is on top of the group by fair play points as we speak. And we'll know more later this week. But I wanted to finish the show by talking about Gareth Southgate again for a second. I read an article yesterday. It was on The Guardian, I believe, or Daily Mail, one of those English newspaper. And it was 16 observations from this England-Panama game, and one of those was very fascinating to me. If you read the article, you'll find the article if you just Google 16 observations on England. Number 4 is really important to me because it opens up mentality. And, you know, when we talk about football, we talk about soccer, we always just think about soccer because we think soccer is so different than any other sport and there's nothing in other sports that can be used or influenced in a way to give you another tactic or something. Well, Gareth Southgate impressed me. And if you go back and watch the nice set pieces on this game, and especially the late set piece that got a goal. Okay? If you look at the movement of the players off the corner or off free kicks, the movement of the players of Gareth Southgate are clear, directed, and very clean in the movement. They almost look like, if you're a fan of American football, routes. And when you have routes in American football, but this actually was inspired by basketball, and I'll get back there in a second. But it looks like routes where you can actually predict a certain amount of run, the direction, and almost blocking another player, screening another player by passing in front of him at exactly the right time where the ball would... Yeah, so you get what I'm saying here. And Gareth Southgate, a few months ago, he was in North America on his way to an NBA game and talking to a journalist of the NBA in the train on its way to the stadium, the arena. And they were talking, and Gareth Southgate was mentioning how NBA is fascinating to him because they have a set amount of size, set amount of rules with the bottle example and the basket. There's five players. And for him, it was impressive to see players always, well, teams, always finding ways to create space in that bottle. Even though it's 5-on-5 and everyone knows where you're going, there's only one place you can score. It was fascinating to him how the movement of the players, screen effects, directed movement that were concise and precise and led to great play in basketball. This was fascinating to him. And he's like, I know the sports are not the same, but for me, it's that movement, those movement of players. And if you take set pieces, yeah, set pieces has been one of the narratives of the World Cup so far. If you take set pieces and use them in a proper way with the movement of the players, with dummy runs and with positioning and movement and crossing of players in front of other players to create screens, this has been seen in England. This little tidbit of information between a reporter of the NBA and Gareth Southgate months ago had some repercussions on England, positive ones. And Gareth Southgate, not saying he's the best manager in the world, no, not at all. What I'm saying is he doesn't have a mentality that's stuck in the past, first of all. He's open-minded, and he's willing to try stuff. And he got himself the belief of the players by showing him things like this. And after two games, two wins for England, 8 goals scored, 5 by Harry the Wizard Kane, you kind of have to say that Gareth Southgate is doing well. And yes, the players playing for Southgate benefit from Jose Mourinho, from Pep Guardiola, from Mauricio Pochettino, all the coaches that are coaching those players and giving him advices day to day during the regular season, during the club world. Well, it pays dividends because Southgate can use a bit of this and put it all together. You don't need to have a perfect anything, but if you have an idea for set pieces, an idea, there's more set pieces go on this World Cup than ever before. There's more set pieces goal here by percentage than regular play. Usually it's about 30%. You would have the amount of goals. That's a study that's been made a long time ago. About 30%, give or take, is the amount of goals scored by free kick over a regular season of a club. When you look at this World Cup, and when you look at the amount of set pieces, goals, and results, or just chances, it's higher than that. And I do have my theory for this. As a national team, as a program, you've got yourself together for a long time. If you work on set pieces, it's a finite time that you can spend on it, and it's the type of thing that you can practice by text message, by the theory of the set pieces has been built for a long time for England. And that is observable. When you're looking at England play and their movement, especially on set pieces, you see the hands of the coach. You see the influence of a Gareth Southgate in this part of the play. And I think it bodes well for England. It helps a lot of confidence. And if you're good on set pieces, what it does is give the defenders, the defensive midfielders, give anyone that was going to give you a tackle and give you a free kick 20 yards out a hesitation. Think, look, They're so good at set pieces. If we slide tackle right here, it's going to be a goal anyways. So that hesitation, that moment of, okay, I'm going to be a bit more clean in my tackle because I do not want Harry Kane or Dele Alli or Jesse Lingard to whip a ball in the back of the net. Well, I'm going to maybe not slide tackle. I might be a little bit more lenient in my defending, and that could lead to opportunities in the run of play too. So that's how important the set pieces has been so far in this World Cup. And that really bodes well for the next few days, because as much as game one and two were important and some of them were really on the line and with the chance of being eliminated there, this week is all about that. Every single game is a no-tomorrow game for majority of the team. Few teams have already qualified for the knockout stage, but if they haven't qualified so far, it's this week. It's now or never, and the pressure will start to build close to the 90th minute. So I love those no-tomorrow games, and it's a week of no tomorrow, but we are back tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. That's 5:30 Pacific, so I understand if you don't listen live on the West Coast, even though, why not? Like, time is just a man-made construct, and you can get up whenever you want, especially to listen to World Cup today. We'll be back tomorrow. Dwayne will be back tomorrow as well. You can follow me on Twitter at 24th Minute. You can follow Dwayne on Twitter as well at Kev Larmy, that's me. 24th Minute, that's Dwayne. At Soccer Today ESPN, that's us. Sports.net, that's a network. And sportsinspired.ca is our sponsor. Get your World Cup inspired collection for a limited time only at sportsinspired.ca. And as always, I'm Kevin Larimer, and until tomorrow, have a great soccer.